I said, he's good. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 43, and we'll start there. Before we get there, I just want to say, how many have been through things? Come on, how many have been through things? Y'all been through things? I've been through things. Hallelujah.
Just want to fix this.
Oh, okay. All right. And thank you.
Fix this.
Amen. I love it. You know, I so appreciate that, because have you ever walked around all day, and then at the end of the day, you come to a mirror, you go, oh my God, why didn't somebody tell me? So I'm just bold enough to do that. I was at the meeting. Like I said, I was at the meeting the other day, and there was a lady in front of me. Her shirt collar was messed up like mine. And I said, ma'am, I hope I'm not being rude, but I just need to tell you, you know. And she fixed it. She said, oh, thank you. It's so good. So while I was down there, you know, you can take on the appearance that everybody else has it all together, right? And nobody knows the struggles that I'm going through. Nobody knows my problems. Nobody has it as rough as me, right? And so the leader of the school, he was talking about when they first started. And when they first started, they had one building, and then it was expanding, and God moved them to build another building. And while that was going on, another building was going on. There was renovations being done. And this was Pastor Hagen and his dad. It was his ministry, right? It was his dad's ministry, but he was working, and he had all these things going on. He said, I could look out my window and see all of the construction that was going on, but at the same time, I saw all the bills that were piling up on my desk as it was going on. And he said, oh my God, if you don't come through, God, I could take my whole dad's ministry that he's worked 40 years or whatever to build up. I could just wipe the whole thing out because of bankruptcy or something, but God, right? Amen. And the point that I'm trying to make is I don't care what you're going through. You know, you're not alone. Amen. And nobody that you think has it all together does. Right? So anybody that you think, man, they've got it all together, and man, I wish I didn't have their problems, or, you know, or I wish my life was like theirs because they never have any trouble, that's not true. You know, Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulation. How many claim that promise? You know, right? You get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I thank you that I have tribulation today. Just... You know, no, we're not apt to do that, but sometimes if we ignore that part when we go through things, we can get discouraged. And we think, oh God, I must be missing it, I must be just messed up. You are. I must just be, because we all are, right? Yeah. But this is about God being in us and working in us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43, this is really cool, because God is for you. And we're going to start in verse 1. I was going to start somewhere else, but watch this. This is when Israel was in trouble because they kept messing up. Amen. Do you know that when you mess up, it's not like God's grace and mercy is going to cover up necessarily what you've done, right? In fact, the Bible says, and I forget where it's at, but in the New Testament, now this is New Testament, the apostle said this. He said, just because God's grace is over you, there is going to be a consequence to what you're doing. Right? If you're stealing and you go, oh, but Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. If you keep that up, pretty soon you're going to be in jail or kicked out of the house. Right? But thank God that his mercy is still over us. Amen. Look at verse 1. It says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who has formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, and you are mine. Now this again is when the nation pretty much for for decades had been in rebellion. Right? And he said, fear not, for I'm with you. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You know, we've been at this a little while. I've been with some of you for, you know, over 25 years now, right? And I've seen God work even though you've messed up. Even though I've messed up. Or somebody else messed up and you just were involved with that mess up. Right? Right? But what I want you to know is that God redeemed you before you ever got up to mess up. Right? Before you thought about messing up, God's already paid the price for you to be redeemed. I love the verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, like I said before, there will be consequences to your sin. If you keep lying, nobody's going to believe you. Right? Your word's not going to be any good. And everybody, have you ever known somebody that after a while you just go, I don't believe a word that comes out of that man's mouth or that woman's mouth? Or, you've told somebody a secret and they blabbed it. And you go, well, I'll give them another shot. But about the third or fourth time, I'm not telling that person another thing in confidence. Because, see, there's results to that. But as far as God is concerned, the blood of Jesus is enough to take you where he wants you to go. That's really good. That's really good. Sometimes we get so involved with our lives and looking at other people and looking at us through the lens of other people, we don't come back to the fact that, God, this is all about you, and how in the world could you love me like you do? See, I know me. You don't know me. But if you don't know me by now... Never mind. Renita said that living with me is like living in a musical, right? But watch this. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what's in your heart, right? He knows what you were created for and why he formed you. He knows. And he still loves you. And he loves the purpose that he created you for. Ooh, glory to God. Look at verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Whew. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place, in your place. What's he saying? He didn't say, look, if I'm with you, you won't go through the water. If I'm with you, you won't go through the fire. He said, when you go, I'll be there. Right? And if I'm with you, then you won't be burned. Right? If I'm with you, come on. In other words, the end result will be different than what the enemy meant when he's trying to destroy you. Right? Because the enemy comes, but not for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. God is for you. He's not against you. But watch this. Sometimes in the midst of the river, in the midst of the fire, we're like, God, where are you? Come on, God, where are you? Well, we have to remember and remind ourselves that he's with us, that he's good, that he's redeemed us. And y'all know what redeemed means. It means that he paid a price to buy us back from the very thing that Satan meant to destroy us. Oh, that's so good. He bought me back. I could go there. I'm not going to go there. Listen, verse 4, since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you, and I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Watch this. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, and that's the qualifier, right? I mean, did you know that God has done everything for you already? Right? It's like, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. But he's not, you know, when you mess up, he doesn't go, well, there's that Bruce again. I better get back up on that cross and take care of that sin. He died once and for all, right? He finished the work. When he said it's finished, he meant it's done. It's over. He's already won your victory. Look at this. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set those who are bruised at liberty. He came, watch this, this is so cool. He came to preach and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean, your jubilee? What does that mean? That means that everything that is the enemy has used to try to destroy you, he has returned it to you. Come on. And it's not about you. He's talking to some rebellious people right here, and he said, man, you're having to go into captivity, all of that because of what you've done. It's the result of your sin. But at the end of the day, whatever you've done, wherever it's led you, I'll bring you back. Aren't you glad for that? Come on. How many have messed up before? How many have, you know, aren't you glad he's in the bringing back business? He's not in the I'm done with you business. Right? Come on. How many have ever thought like, they're dead to me. I'm glad God's not you. Anyway. Verse 7 again. For everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Now listen, when you're talking to people about God, did you know that what we preach is called the gospel? You know what gospel means? Say that again.
Good news.
That's exactly what the gospel means. Good news. Why? Because it's really not about you. It's for you, but it's not about you. The good news is no matter what you've done to mess up, he's already taken care of it. Now, don't keep messing up, right? That's stupid. I mean, that's stupid. You heard of the prodigal son? You've read the story, what he did was stupid. And his stupidity led him to the pig pen. Amen. But one day he thought, man, a servant's got better than I'm just going to go home. I said, God, I don't deserve to be here. I mean, Father, I don't deserve to be here. Just make me one of your servants. And God, his father said, no way, buddy. You're my son. You're my daughter. I've been looking for you to return. But when you came back, I wasn't about to throw everything in your face that you've done. I was about to throw in your face who you are. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And when we have that perspective, verse 8 comes to mind. It says, bring out the blind people who have eyes. And the deaf who have ears, let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled Who among them can declare this and show the former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. And then he goes on to say, for you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant in whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be one after me. He said, you're my witnesses. Come on. You're my witness. Now, I'm going to say it just a little bit different. You're my proof. Come on. You're the proof. You absolutely defend the case and show concrete evidence that my mercy and my love work. Can I get a witness? Come on. You are that witness. But oftentimes, we don't come from the place of being chosen. We come from the place of being frozen. And what I mean by that is that we're frozen by who we are and all of our inadequacies, and God can't use my messed up so much, and God, yak. The enemy just lying in our, just pouring the water on and then putting us in the freezer and saying, no. And what we have to do is take the Word of God, use it as an ice pick, chip off the ice and say, no, I'm no longer the frozen, I'm the chosen. And because I'm chosen, I have purpose. Don't you love it? My purpose is different than your purpose, but in actuality, all of our purposes are aligned. What's that for? To show the goodness of God. Show God's good work and to bring the blind, bring the lame, bring those that are hurting and say, look at man, you don't have to worry about you because you can't be bad enough that his goodness can't pick you up. Do we believe the word? Come on. His word is true. His word is true. I like verse 11. I am the Lord. Beside me, there's no Savior. I like that. This is the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet, but who's the Savior? Jesus. Right? No other name on the face of the earth that a man might be saved. Now, again, saved, what does that mean? We get into a religion. Saved means that they're part of my church. No, what saved means is that you were lost, but now you're found. Amen. Saved means that you were caught in your sin and you were destined to be apart from God forever, but now because of the blood of Jesus, he's redeemed you, right? I was lost. I was without hope, without God, but now God has been brought to me and I'm in him, and because I'm in him, he's chosen me and I have a purpose. What's that purpose? That purpose is to say, see, look at what God can do. Yep. Come on. We used to sing a song, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Right? Why? Because I'm a witness. You know, some people might come up and ask you, well, how do you know there's a God? Well, because I know. Well, how do you know? Because I know. But how do you know? Because I know. Well, how can you know? It's because he's come to me. He's touched me. He's changed me. He's rearranged me. I used to be this way, but now I'm that way. And I didn't get there by myself. I've been touched by his love. Woo! God is good. God is good. Verse 12 says, I declared and saved. I proclaimed that there's no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. Yeah, the circle has, wait a minute. There's no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send you to Babylon. I'll bring down all the fugitives, the Chaldeans, and rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, and they shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished and they are quenched like the wick. Now listen to this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Who's he talking to today? Come on. I see a few people. Listen, he's talking to me right now. Right now, he's talking to me. Don't go back. Don't think about the back. You can't do nothing. You can do nothing about yesterday. Yeah, but I should have, but I could have. Forget it. It's gone. And God is saying here, don't even think about it. Don't even consider it. Don't even let it cross your mind. Whew. I love that. I said, don't remember it and don't consider it. You know, that takes a lot of work. Amen. Come on, it takes a lot of work. Amen. Why? Because you're beating yourself up all the time. And if you're not, somebody else is. Right? But we know where the source of that comes, whether it's your thoughts or somebody else's thoughts. It's the enemy that's trying to talk to you about who you were instead of who you are. I'm chosen. Thank you very much. I'm chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. I'm chosen in him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm preaching me happy. I don't know how you guys are doing, but I'm doing good. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. I don't care what happened to you yesterday. I don't care what happened to you last week. I don't care what happened to you. And I don't care if you are right now in the midst of all of your failures. Today, right now, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. I will do. Who qualifies for this? Everyone who believes. Amen. If you don't believe, it won't apply to you. But if you believe it, come on, has anybody ever had the, if I'd only done this? I do that all the time. Lord, maybe if I'd have said this, maybe if I'd have done this, Lord, the church should be bigger. I should have more money. Lord, if I'd only made this investment, Lord, if I'd have done. He said, forget the things that are, don't even bring it into consideration, because when you're thinking about that, you can't think about what I want to do now. Woo! Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Now, how many know that there's true groups, but there's really only one group? There's the nation of Israel and the people of Israel that God has made covenant with, and they are the natural born seed of Abraham, right? And it's amazing. If all we did was look at Israel today, we should be encouraged. right? You know this and you've seen this, but I just want to remind you of this. Do you know the land that they're fighting over and that some people want to wipe them off the face of the earth? Do you know that it's about the size of New Jersey? I mean, it's a tiny piece of place. And there was an English commander who was there before Israel came back. And I think his name was Balfour. I could be mistaken. But he looked over the land that they're fighting over right now. And he went, who in their right mind would want to live in this God-forsaken place? Why? Because he ate dust every night. There was no food that grew. Right? It was horrible. Hot, sticky, horrible. Then something happened in 1948. The fulfillment of God bringing from the north, the east, the south, and the west, his people back into the land. And when that happened, all of a sudden the desert bloomed. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because if God did it for them, is it possible that he might do it for you? How many are not where you want to be? I mean, with life, relationships, finance, whatever, how many are not where you want to be? How many are not where you thought you'd be? Right? I mean, at 20, 25, 30, whatever, this isn't where I thought I'd be. Right? Right? I didn't think my husband would die. I didn't think I'd get laid off from the job. I didn't think this would happen or this would happen. But I'm telling you, when we begin to look at God as our source, are you listening to me?
Yes.
As we begin to look at him as our Redeemer, I don't care where I've been. He can make fruit grow where there's just nothing but overblown sand. Glory to God. He's so good. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove, and a voice out of heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." What was he saying? This is my chosen one. This is my chosen one. Hold your place in 1 Peter. Before we go there, I've got to show you this. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you get nothing else today, get this. Get this. See, again, it's not about your goodness. It's not how good you've been or how bad you've been. It's all about him. It's all about him. I know, I've seen some of your mistakes, man. Right? And from a natural standpoint, oh man, there's no hope. Right? I'm looking at me too. I'm looking in the mirror at the same time I'm telling you that. It's just easier to say it to, about you instead of me. But watch this. Watch this. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at this. It's so good. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your blessings are not determined by what you do or what you don't do. They're based on who you are.
Amen.
In him. In him. In him. In him. In him. In him. You lose your identity when you become born again.
Amen.
And you take on His identity.
Amen.
I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were talking about she doesn't honor me. I said, you know what your problem is? No. Well, that's your problem. No, I said, you know what your problem is? Is you're not dead. Because a dead man has no reputation. The only reputation that you're worried about is His. He's got a good one. And I'm in Him. I'm in Him. You're in Him. So the basis of knowing who you are and walking in that is knowing that I'm in Him. Verse 4 says, just as He chose us. Just as He chose us. When did He choose you? When did He choose you? Before the foundations of the world. Come on. He knew the plan that He was going to have to redeem you back, and He chose you in that plan.
Amen.
What does that mean? Does that mean, well, God, I pick this one, and but not that one, and I like that one, but I'm going to, those three I'm leaving out because I don't like their attitude. What He's saying, I've got a plan that all of those who believe in that plan can be chosen. I'm the chosen, not the frozen. I haven't been frozen out because I heard the good news and I believed it, and now I'm walking in it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, I've got to wind down. That means we just got 3 hours left. Just kidding, visitors. I'm just kidding. Look at verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now this is the word which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, that was actually chapter 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Listen, what's He saying? This is what He's saying. Have you heard? Did you listen to the gospel that was preached? So begin to walk in who you become rather than in the way that you know.
Amen.
You know, if you were a liar, quit lying. If you use manipulation to get your way, you don't have to do that anymore. Right? If you're a hypocrite before, listen, you don't have to be that anymore because your life is hidden in Him. So good. So good. Okay, I've got to hurry. If indeed, verse 3 says, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Anybody tasted it?
Yes.
Come on. The Lord is gracious. What does that mean? The Lord is gracious. That means, man, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Have you ever known somebody that's gracious? You walk into their house, and man, they can't give you enough. I'll just tell you this story and you're going to have to give me some grace with more time. But watch this. Carl and TV. Some of you remember Carl and TV. They're both in heaven now. But when Renita and I first started going over to the house when they were coming to the church, we couldn't get out of their house. First of all, they'd come in, Brother Bruce, Sister Renita, what do you need? What? And he said, come on over for dinner. And they had this table set up. And he had steaks, and I'm not kidding you, T-bone steaks that were this big around, about that thick. And more food than you could eat in 3 days. But they loved to do it because they were gracious people. And after, you know, you're in a coma, food coma, by the time you're leaving out the door. Well, wait just a minute. And they grab a grocery sack. And they'd put it cans of this and stuff of this, and you got to take this home, and you got to take. No. We don't. Listen, they were gracious. They were gracious, but they have nothing on God. Indeed, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, I'm telling you, I don't deserve anything that God has given to me, but I take it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. What have others said about you? Who's rejected you? Let me just say this again. Come on, because it's so true. Every one of us have a story, have a past. But some of us are still bound by things that happened to us. We're 8, 10, 12. And we don't have to be. Why? Because I'm not rejected anymore. I'm accepted. Come on. I'm not one of the left overs or the left outs. I'm the chosen. I'm chosen. You're chosen. Every one of you are chosen, but your entrance into the place of standing is chosen, is to come back to him. The prodigal son, the father, it said the father was looking one day, and again, I get the picture that he lived on a hilly place, you know, and his driveway went down a hill and then up on the other rise, and he'd stand up on his property and he'd look down the road every day. Is today the day? Yeah, not today. Next morning. But one morning, the sun was just coming up. So it was kind of, you know, not quite light, but just kind of the dawn was breaking. And he looked over the hill. I see something. Could it be? Could it be? And it got a little closer. It is! It's my son! And the Bible says that he ran. But often we get the picture of God like this. You wasted my time. No, God said, you're coming. I'm going to run towards you to meet you. And I'm not coming you by your choices of the past. I'm coming to you by the choice you just made of the now. And by that choice, you're the chosen. I just love this. I love verse, but chosen by God and precious. 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 What does that mean? That means treasured. Treasured. If you ever held a little baby and just how precious. How priceless. How amazing. That's what God just called you. Called me. You are as living stones are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jesus, elect and precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. See, here's the dividing line. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Stumbling being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. That's amazing. Everybody was appointed to the same word that we've bowed our knee to. They've rejected it. They've walked over it. But God didn't want that. He doesn't want that. Verse 9. and I'm going to close with these scriptures. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Right? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you've rejected the cornerstone. But once you accept Jesus, then you're saying, this is who I've become. And even if you've fallen away from Him, which all of us have from time to time, even if you've messed up, He's going, where's Bruce? Where's Bruce? There he is. Come on. Welcome home. I'm not here to shame you. Oh. One story, then I'll quit. Do you know in heaven there's no shame? I had come back to the Lord and made Him, well, actually I came to the Lord. I grew up in a church, but I didn't really know the Lord. But one day he came to me. I didn't come to Him. The Holy Spirit came to me in a really powerful way. I won't go into all that. But I knew that 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 God was real, that He loved me, and I was His, sold out for Jesus. So one night, it wasn't too many months after that happened, I had a dream that I remember. So that's how I know it was a God dream, because I never remembered my dreams up to that point. And so I'm in a dream stance something. And it didn't last that long. But I'm up here, you know, there was no ceiling in the room, but I was up there looking down at my body in a hospital bed. I thought, this is strange. And there are people working on whatever, but I was up here looking down at that. Now, nothing else really happened, but here's what I want to tell you, is that while I was up here looking down, there was such peace in my heart. There was, and I thought, what in the world? And for years, and I'm telling you that story, I'm still seeing it. I'm still feeling that peace. Because what happened to me in the Spirit is that He who knew no sin became sin for me. I'm going to say that just a little bit differently. He that had nothing to be ashamed of took my shame. So that I don't have to be ashamed anymore. That peace I was feeling is a complete absence of shame, because I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. Did you get anything today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come back up, and we'll finish with the song like we always do, but let's pray right now. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray, Lord, that You've used me to speak into people's heart. And Lord, just right now, we just want to choose to forget about the past and thank You that You're doing a new thing. Thank You for releasing everybody in here from shame. But if you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You're living your life for yourself, but you know that you know that you know. If you died today, you don't know if you go to heaven or to hell, because there is a heaven. But sadly enough, there's a hell. And hell consists for people who reject Jesus. But you don't have to be that person. How do I make that change? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Change your mind. Change your thinking. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him your life. So if you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your day, man. This is the best day forever, so that your past can be done away with and you have a brand new start. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I just invite you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is really between you and God right now. You sense His presence. You sense His love. His Spirit is here working on the inside of you, drawing you to Him. But if you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just be bold. Raise your hand so I can see it, so I can pray with you. Anybody in the room? I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? I want Jesus. Well, let me just back that up with, Jesus is Lord of my life, but I haven't been walking with Him. I've been living for me. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I'm that prodigal, and I've been a fool. I need to come back. I need to come back to that place of peace that I've lost. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I see those hands. Come on. I see those hands. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Look at God's doing a great thing, and He loves you so much. So if you're here and you've prayed the or said that or raised your hand, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's not the words alone that will make this prayer effective. It's your heart being all into the words. So everybody, let's just help them and all pray this together. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I've been convicted of Your love this morning. I ask You to forgive me of my past. And I thank You that You will. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And Father, as You raised Him from the dead, it's the proof that the price was paid for my redemption. I thank You that You're no longer mad at me, that You love me, that You accept me. And Lord, I give You praise for the graciousness You've shown to me this morning. And with Your help, I'll live my life for You the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you prayed it for the first time, the Bible said you became brand new right this moment. And if you came back to the Lord in your heart just now, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They're throwing a party because of your decision. I just feel His